surfing at a spot known as Fisheries Bay, and specifically Wright Point. I'd probably been surfing for about an hour when I just got a wave and I was paddling back out in the channel. I reckon I almost got to the suck rock, which is where the takeoff spot is, when I got hit, which felt like being hit by a car. But soon realised I was being attacked by a 4.5, 5 meter white shark. At that moment, I thought, shit, this could be the end of my life. Because I was paddling back out, it got, the underside of my board, my left flank, and it was just sort of shaking me around violently. And that first bite mark that I got, underside of my board protected me a little bit, but I still had these huge, almost like hand-sized bite marks in my left flank. Not long after, it let go, and that's when my two mates, Nick and Brock, realised it was me, and they started to paddle back out. And I think they got within, an arm's reach, and the shark turned like on this 90-degree angle and just come back at me again. But because I was off my board, the second time it grabbed me and it pulled me underwater, and we sort of disappeared, myself, the board, and the shark under the ocean. So,
So it latched onto you the second time.
it grabbed the second time it hit me. It grabbed my left leg and it dragged me through the water. I remember having to hold my breath. That's sort of how long it felt like I was under there for. And it shook me around. You see that footage of sharks going up to like a dead whale carcass and they grab
And
something
they,
and they go, yeah,
yeah,
that's sort of what it was
shake their
doing to me.
head.
And that ended up in my left leg being ripped off above the knee while I was in the water. And yeah, that's when I started to lose lots of blood because I had that first bite mark on my hip and then my left leg had been ripped off
And
above the knee.
you remember all of it, which
I do,
just isn't
yeah.
often what you sort of hear from these kinds of things, where it's so traumatic and people lose consciousness or other
Yep.
people sort of fill it in, but it seems like it's incredibly vivid for you.
It is, yeah, to a certain point. I mean, I remember it's not as clear in my mind as it was for Nick and Brock. I mean, that they witnessed this thing up close range and it's something they'll never be able to forget. Once it pulled my leg off and I started to lose lots of blood, that's when I started to slip out of consciousness. So I think I tried to climb onto Nick's back, and we got hit by a wave and we sort of dispersed a bit. And then they decided it'd be easier if one of them got on either side of me, and they sort of frog leaped me to shore. But I was lucky that someone that watched the attack, he'd already had his leg rope off his board. And they tied that around my stump while I was still in the water once I got to the water's
As a
edge.
tourniquet.
Yeah, and they had to tie a few knots because like, with the leg rope it's kind of stretchy and they just couldn't they got it firstly tied enough. They just did a number of knots, and that definitely helped stop the blood. And I think that if that didn't was a couple more minutes without that on, I would have bled to death for sure.
Then the other problem was you're at the bottom of a cliff as well.
Yeah, so and that's the thing, I was 30 kilometers, 35 kilometers from the nearest hospital. At the bottom of a cliff, with about 150 stairs to get up
Yeah, it
to.
wasn't looking good.
Yeah, and 700 kilometres from the nearest trauma centre in Adelaide. So, yeah, the odds were definitely stacked against me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your mates really stepped up big
They
time in
did,
that
yeah.
moment.
Yeah,
Because
yeah.
it's pretty much incomprehensible for people to try to understand how they'd react in that moment. But I imagine like the sheer terror of that and realizing what had happened.
Yeah.
And then obviously you're at a point where you're in and out of consciousness and you're going to die without them there to help you. And then they actually have the presence of mind to think about, okay, what do we need to do right now to save Chris's life? And they did that. I'd imagine there'd be some people that would just be overcome and freeze or.
I think they did. Like once they got the shore, I remember Nick saying everyone was just standing around, like and just looking at me, and just like especially Nick and Brock, they were shaking, and wasn't for a guy called Joe who watched it from the cliff
So
at
you
the top
just
of this.
happen to be there.
Yeah, he's an older guy. Not it would be in his maybe his 50s, and I just remember how calm he was coming down, because Nick and Brock were just hysterical. And by the time Joe got there, I just remember him calming everyone down. It's like, right, this is what we're going to do. Like, we've now got to get him
So
on this
you were
board.
conscious
Yeah,
for that.
and he was just calmed down everyone. Everyone was freaking out. So Nick was like, "Oh, put him on my back and carry me up the cliff." And I was like,
No.
"Nah, it's not going to happen." So I was very lucky that that day there would have been maybe 14, 15 surfers.
Right, okay.
And which is can be unlikely at that spot,
Yeah.
yeah. And they managed to put me onto a board, and they stretch me across these slippery rocks, which it blows me away. Like, it's hard to walk across those rocks at the best of time and not hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Going how they carried me across those rocks and then up a flight of stairs. I think we counted like 150 steps.
And having to do it quickly as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't hurt himself. Yeah. And you know, everyone just worked as a team. I remember them jumping over me at each spot, like, and it just, once they got going, they just, yeah.
Yeah.
It just worked somehow. But yeah, at that stage, my body was already starting to shut down.
But you remember getting carried up those stairs.
I do, yeah. And not being able to breathe was the biggest thing. I think that was because there was not much blood left in my body. That was your blood carries around the oxygen and
to your brain.
Yeah, well. And then they say when you lose lots of blood that you can find it hard to breathe.
Was your mind blank at that moment?
No, that's all those thoughts were coming into my head, and it got to a point where I couldn't breathe, and then it got to the point where, right now, my body is actually shutting down, and I actually just wanted to go to sleep. It sort of made me fear death less. Now it was just like almost like a warmth that came over my body.
But you knew it was death.
I knew, and I thought, I'm not going to be able to, you know, all those things I look forward to, like getting married, having kids, all that sort of stuff. I was like, that's not going to happen anymore.
So you felt that in that moment.
Yeah, and because I had Nick, you know, you still got to give me those guitar lessons. I still got to, you know, he was saying that stuff to me when I was getting carried up the cliff to try and keep me awake.
Yeah. And so hard for him to hold that together to be able to keep talking to you
while doing that. And they were slapping me in the face and trying to keep me awake. But they already had Nick's Land Cruiser up at the top of the stairs, and they chucked me in the back of that. And I don't remember any of that ride, but...
And they drove to meet the ambulance?
Yeah, they would have got... I think we got 11 kilometres down the road, and they... By the time we met the ambulance there, my heart had completely stopped. I mean, the paramedics opened the back door of the ambulance, and I was like lifeless, and I was as white as a sheet of paper, and no one was doing CPR. Like, the paramedics thought they were too late. So,
but then they gave it a crack, obviously.
They did, yeah. Once they got me into the back of the ambulance, they started to administer CPR straight away. I was very lucky that day that there was 3 paramedics, and one was able to drive, while the 2 other paramedics did CPR while we're under transport on the way to hospital. And just little things they did. They don't carry blood on ambulances, so they just put an IV drip into me, and that kept any little bit of blood I had in my body just moving around. And I think that definitely played a vital part in me surviving and surviving without any brain damage, because that CPR started at 10 a.m. and didn't stop till 11:15 a.m. an hour and a quarter later when I was in Portland hospitals. Yeah.
Did you talk to those paramedics again?
Yeah, I went back and saw them a couple of months later.
What did they say?
Well, they were in tears. Like, they couldn't believe when I walked in to the hospital.
Because seeing what they see and the position you were in,
and it was a good outcome. Yeah,
they would have thought, like, this guy's not going to make it.
Yeah, it's, you know, has what happened to me has had a ripple effect on everyone, not just me, but all the people that were involved, the people that watched on the cliff, the poor bloke that went to go retrieve my board on the other side of the bay with my legs still attached to my leg rope, to, you know, the paramedics and nurses that were forced to, you know, they would have never seen anything like that. And not even the paramedics, they can go their whole career and not see something like that.
Why did you go back to get the leg?
Well, so they went, my board washed up. So the shark must have, when it grabbed my leg and bit it off, it mustn't have had the actual leg rope part in its mouth. So it didn't snap the leg rope. So you could see where the shark was the whole time when we were getting carried up the cliff, because it was like a fishing float. It was just getting dragged across there. They call it tombstoning, because when you get washed under and your board sort of flicks around on top of the water, and they could see where the shark was the whole time, and it must have let go of it when it got to the other side of the bay, and then they thought, we better go collect his board, because they could see it washed up on the beach, and then my leg was still attached.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. And that's maybe why I didn't take the leg as well, because it was stuck to the board.
Yeah, and just sort of, you can't get rid of it.
Right, okay. So
it's come to hospital with me, but they couldn't attach that.
No.
Yeah.
When you got back to the hospital, when was the next time you were conscious?
Yeah, so I arrived in Royal Adelaide Hospital, I think it was 1 o'clock. It was about 6 hours after my attack.
So you'd been in the chopper?
Yeah, so being in the, I got airlifted once they'd stabilised me enough in Port Lincoln, and then I was rushed straight into emergency surgery, and then they put me in induced coma for 10 days.
Were you out for that whole period?
Yeah,
as well?
So I don't remember any of that, yeah. And that's that point was the heart that night. My family received like the worst possible news that I had 10% chance of surviving the night, and then 0% chance of waking up with no brain damage, and that was due to the massive blood loss and sustained CPR. Which is, yeah, I think that they're one of the paramedics that took the call said that, you know, she doesn't know why she sent the helicopter over either, because the chances of surviving CPR under blood loss was virtually 0%, and it still is, and I think it might be a little bit higher than that now, but, and she still doesn't know why she sent it, but she said what she's seen now, she said she wouldn't have sent that helicopter, so it mustn't have been my time, yeah.
Do you think about that much now?
I do a little bit. I think I realize how lucky I am to be here. It makes me not take all those things for granted that I did before, and or just the day-to-day things like getting in and out of bed and being able to get up and walk and get back and surfing and doing all that stuff. And some people can't get that opportunity again, and yeah, I just try not to gloat on my injuries too much and got that and just get on with it. I've learned a lot from it.
What do you find out about yourself in terms of your own perseverance and personal strength?
That, you know, I'm actually like stronger than I thought I was, that I can put up with a lot more stuff than I thought I could, that if you have the right mindset that you can do anything you want, yeah, and you can achieve anything you want to.